it's not fair. That's the favorite refrain of children. Those of you that are parents, well, have heard plenty of times, he got more than I did, more cake than I did. It's not fair. You didn't make him do this when he was that age. It's not fair. And of course, adults do the same thing. We love to say, or at least to think, it's not fair. And whoever is in charge, whether it's the parents or God, gets sick and tired of it. My mom used that old ruse of having one of us divide the treat and then the other person gets to be the first one to choose. Because we judged as fair, meaning that each one got equal amounts and equal treatment. But if one of us broke a bone and had to get a cast, we didn't say it's not fair that I didn't get a cast too. Do we all have to be put in a cast for it to be fair? Another definition of fair, then, is to get what you deserve. Someone with a broken bone deserves a cast, even if it means that not everyone is getting equal treatment. So, is fair getting the same as, or is it getting what you need? The mature answer is yes. Fairness, as a mature notion, is the foundation in our society for justice and equality. It's not fair that some people get to ride in the front of the bus and other people have to ride in the back. It's not fair that some people are paid more for the same work than others. Yeah, our innate sense of fairness can lead to a strong and life-giving sense of justice. But not always, because our innate sense of fairness tends to be somewhat egocentric. We tend to assess fairness, as our examples from childhood demonstrate, in terms of what not only seems fair to us, but what seems fair for us. We tend to measure fairness in terms of our own wants, needs, hopes, expectations, often with little, or not at least not as much, regard for the wants and needs of others. So what's fair then becomes a political notion, like it does for our friend Jonah in the Old Testament. He's so consumed with God being fair in imposing at the announced punishment for the sin of the pagan city of Nineveh that he throws a fit better for me to die than to see those people getting off and making me look like a fool. I saw on the PBS Vietnam program that's running this week that the government knew in 1965 that the war was unwinnable, but felt that fairness to sacrifice principles and the good that they could do if they were reelected, that sense kept them from telling the American people. So thousands of people died needlessly. However, in Nineveh, God doesn't let Jonah's need for fairness and for it to be about him and to resent others possibly getting away with something, God doesn't let that sense from Jonah destroy the city, the people, or the animals. That gnawing sense of lack for our side comes from defining ourselves over and against others, comparing and begrudging the good fortune of others because it wasn't our good fortune. Think for a moment of what this does to the grumbling day laborers in Jesus' story. At the beginning, they're thrilled that they got work for the day at the fair going rate because they got work and the others didn't. And then they feel unfortunate for not having received more than what they contracted for. Rejoicing, rather than rejoicing that those other workers who'd waited all day anxious that they weren't going to get any work and might not be able to feed their families, instead of rejoicing that they got to be there too and feed their families, they can only begrudge them, perhaps even curse at the good fortune of these other workers. And rather than being grateful to the landowner who's given them an honest day's wage for an honest day's work, they can only grumble with resentment. It's not fair! This month we celebrated Labor Day, and we prayed that all people would receive a just wage, a just reward for their labor. But what's just? Is it equal pay for equal work? Jesus says that in God's kingdom, it's getting paid enough to feed your families for the day, no matter what the value of that work might look like for others. Jesus is talking to disciples who are arguing about who in the church is going to get, this is church stuff, it's the kingdom of God stuff. He's talking to people who in the church, who are arguing about who in the church is going to get the greatest reward in heaven, in God's kingdom. And the church, we still have unspoken hierarchies about who deserves what in church and who's entitled to special treatment. On what basis do we make decisions about who gets to use the building or who gets to have their funeral? Entitlement and rewarding donors, which is what Luther was railing at in the Reformation for the selling of forgiveness and the selling of bishoprics. That sense of entitlement has the church adopting the tools of the world. And then, when those expectations of reward aren't met, church members get angry and resentful, and the community is threatened. And then you have everyone running around feeling like they're a victim, like Jonah and the early arrivals in the vineyard. Jonah should have felt wonderful. His preaching saved people. But no, it wasn't fair that they weren't being punished. The vineyard workers should have been delighted that they found work for the day. But no, they went home mad at the others who had been worrying instead of working and got their daily bread too. But Jesus says that the concept of being rewarded in the kingdom does not use the same standards of reward and punishment in the world. He says that the kingdom promised rewards are not a contract. If you think that God owes you, then there's no place in your life for gratitude, and there's no place for joy, because you're envious of what God has given someone else, and that envy wipes out the joy in what God has given you. In God's kingdom, your reward is communal joy in knowing that everyone is happy. The first come laborers miss the joy in knowing that all the families got to eat that night because they were grumbling that they didn't get more. You have the same choices today that they did. When you look at your own life, do you count your blessings? Or do you count your misfortunes? Do you pay attention to the areas of plenty in your life? Or to the perceptions of what you lack? Do we live by gratitude or by envy? When we look to others in solidarity and compassion, we're living with joy. When we look at them only as competition, then we live with envy. The killer thing about this choice is that it really is a choice. A choice that's as unavoidable as it is simple. You can't be grateful and envious at the same time. So which is it going to be? I have here a bunch of measuring cups. Okay? And I use them all depending on how much I need to measure. I don't reward one of them for being bigger. I reward them all equally with my care and concern because they all do their own thing and they do it well. And I'm happy to have all of them because each has its own proper use. In our church community, we all have different gifts. And we're happy when each person is celebrated for the gifts that they have. Jesus is telling his church that there's to be no hierarchy of reward, no jealousy, no scorekeeping. This is God's righteousness, fairness, and justice. And those who thought that they deserved more killed him. Jesus is crucified not because he's proclaiming grace and mercy of God that's available, but he proclaims it available to all, even those who are deemed unworthy of it. And he's also crucified because his declaration for those that could not accept that revealed their own hardness of heart. The envy that's part and parcel of our human condition, the same hardness of heart that each of us exhibits. And every day, you can choose. Right now, I invite you to think of some resentment, some grudge that you hold in your heart, something you believe you lack, or something of which you're envious, some kind of unfairness in your life. And now think of some blessing, some area of abundance, something for which you're grateful in your own life or in somebody else's life. And now with those two things in mind, choose which one you're going to keep. You can't keep both. You have to choose. I'm going to keep the one that brings me joy, which in the overall scheme of things, I don't deserve. In fact, I'm overjoyed that God's not fair and rewards me and all of us far beyond what we deserve. And for that, we can all say, thanks be to God. Amen.